From the Ticats Audio Network, this is Task and Twos.
Welcome to Task and Twos. I'm Luke Tasker, and he is Andy Fantuz, and we are wrapping up the 2021 season after the Ticats' heartbreaking loss, 33-25 to Winnipeg in overtime. Andy, man, that was just, first of all, an unbelievable week, like a truly memorable week of as a CFL events and Ticats family and all of that. But Sunday was a really, really tough night. That was a sad one.
Man, I was even as early as, or as recent as 20 minutes ago, I was crying just thinking about, this show, and I'm thinking about, I started thinking about the game, and I got teary eyed again. And this one just hits me hard, man. I've been part of some tough Grey Cups, and I'm not even on the team this year. And for me, this one really, really hits. Just feel so bad for, you know, the team. They're so close. So many different plays that could have went one way or the other. The, you know, the whole organization, the city, the fans. But you're right, man. Like, what a week. Like, are you recovered?
Dude, you know what's crazy? Literally 5 nights in a row, it was after 2 a.m. And I felt like I could just keep doing this forever, which I don't know how that's possible. But when I got home on Monday, like I was just holding it together with Grey Cup energy and like gusto from like a week of celebrations and whatever. When I got home though, like it hit me hard. Like that, it took its toll on me, and like I like sore throat and like had to just sleep the whole week. But man, we just kept it together, man. We were just living off of that, those Grey Cup fumes. It was awesome.
Yeah. It seemed like part of our duty as alumni, as the Ticat Audio Network, as CFL ambassadors, to just sort of make sure we're at every event and, you know, close it down every event. And
we did, man. We weren't going to let them down. We did our duty really well.
Yeah, we're, you know, that was my 11th Grey Cup, only like sixth as a spectator, like partying or whatever. But I can't imagine what toll that would take on me if I ever got to 50 or so, like some of the people we met this week.
Oh yeah. I mean, and you said you hosted the Grey Cup, the fan base unveiling, and what, 52 years and 50, I think what the guy was 59, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that wild? Like haven't missed a Grey Cup since, what did he say? Since 1959, I think, or 61. Like, isn't that incredible?
So sweet, man. That is so awesome.
Yeah. That's Paul Hill, actually, who's I was honored to be inducted in the Plaza of Honor with. He's a big builder in Saskatchewan, who helped keep the team together in tough times, and also helped build that stadium. And then Lauren Stewart was the fan recognized, and his name's on top of the fan base for his, he was the 52nd year, and he was there with his daughter and granddaughter. And that was a lot of fun. Man, what a week though. What a week of just incredible positive energy throughout the city. You know, people, fans from wearing all colors throughout the league. Of course, mostly black and gold, but no, I didn't see any negative aspects to the whole week. The CFL did a great job of creating this incredible festival, like they always do, but especially in a time of such uncertainty, it was very well done. And I was happy to be, you know, front and center for a lot of it. I had some really cool, unique experiences, and for me, it was the most enjoyable Grey Cup I'd been to.
It was an absolute blast, man. I can't wait for 2 years from now when it's right back here. And if Hamilton can find their way back into that game, we're just gonna have a repeat, or well, a repeat of this week, but COVID free. Hopefully not a repeat of Sunday, but it was just a unbelievable week. Like every day was just buzzing with energy. It was just exciting. And you're right, there was a lot of league energy, league fanship, but of course Hamilton kind of took the day with their amount of fanship and energy. But Tuz, tell me about some of these. You've been to 11 Grey Cups. You've played in five. And of course, you know, you got one victory and that's great. I personally had to have three losses to show and that's it. But what were some of your after Grey Cup experiences, especially with a loss?
Oh, they're all kind of hit differently for me, to be honest.
I feel the same way. I can attest to that.
Yeah. I mean, I learned a lesson coming, you know, after winning in 2007 about not trying to dip out of town to go on vacation too early. I had to kind of rush home in a snowstorm with no washer fluid, 5 days after the Grey Cup. And I'm driving like a 3-day drive through Manitoba and into, Ontario and just basically following a transport truck as like a lead blocker through the mountains where the moose where all the moose are, because I couldn't barely see anything. So I learned my lesson not to sort of just let myself enjoy it and see how things come, because always cool things are going to come up. But like 2009, 2010, 2013, 2014, after those losses, you know, we seem to find a way to turn the somberness, even the night of the game, into a celebration of the season in some sense.
Yeah.
So the team party, you know, it was not wild by any means. It was because you got your family and your friends there, the teams there, the coaches, you know, it's quiet and it's, you know, just somber, but we were always able to find a way to sort of pick up the energy and turn it into a fun night. And that, you know, we don't just want to, we've spent the last 5, 6, 7 months together every single day, sweating, bleeding, grinding, learning, developing. And I don't want this to be the last time we see each other. And we're just going to, you know, some of these people you're never going to see again. Some will be on different teams. Some will be back next year. You might not be back next year. So we just had a sense of, okay, let's not forget like what we did this year, what we accomplished and how much work we put in together. So that was always a bright spot for me. And then I would probably normally like kind of take a month to sort of just let my body heal and get back, do some exercise and some stretching. But for me, it was all about trying to like return to the least amount of compensation patterns and the least amount of injury throughout December and then start training in the new year. Of course, like enjoying the holiday season with your family and your friends. And so December was always sort of a month of rest and recuperation for me. How about yourself?
Yeah. Certainly on your last point, the nice thing about the CFL season to me is it ended and it's just right into the Christmas season. Right. So like the NFL, you know, they play right through the holidays, and that's always sort of less, you know, festive. It's just a nice time of the year to end just before the holidays start. So I would unplug like big time. Like I would just mentally and physically have kind of nothing to do with football. And then I would usually take a vacation in January and hit the ground running after that. But the Grey Cup losses, every one of them was different. And I remember in 13, like it really wasn't even close. And it was a home game for Sask. And we were out there and that was my sixth game as a CFL player. And it was kind of just like, well, you know, really like super fun, like wish we played better and we didn't. So, you know, we just, you know, let's just get back to it next year and have fun. In 2014, that play was so, you know, I was so angry after that game about Speedy B's touchdown being called back. And once that anger goes away, you know, we had a fun night. We're out in Vancouver. It was, you know, family was there. It was just we got back to it again. But man, I'll tell you what, in 2019, I was so injured that year and we were so favored to win. There was actually a little bit like a feeling of almost like like being embarrassed almost, like, which is sounds weird, but it was like almost like, man, that was so silly how like badly we played. Like, what happened there? We really, in a game where we weren't even really close, but we were favored to win. That was so frustrating. And I had my family in Calgary for the Winnipeg Grey Cup 2019, and we lost that game. It was crappy. There was a sort of a scuffle happened in the hotel lobby with Winnipeg fans and Ticat fans. It was a strange little moment there, and then ended up in the restaurant, and my dad was there, and too, was like, I'm from Buffalo. So like my dad is Steve Tasker. Like I sat there with my dad at the steakhouse, and I was like, Dad, you lost 4 Super Bowls and I lost, this is my third Grey Cup I've lost. Like, what's wrong with us? I was like, what is wrong with us? And I just was like, it was a real, that was a tough Grey Cup, but I'll tell you, and you said it when you and I were together hours after the game on Sunday, this past Sunday, and you said, man, this hurts worse than 2014. And I thought, wow, like that's crazy that he's saying that. And slowly and surely I woke up the next morning and I was just so sad. So sad. This, I went from anger, embarrassment. And then 2021, this year, I was just sad for these guys, man. It was just heartbreaking. And from top to bottom, but especially for me, the guys that are still there that you and I played with, that's so hard for me. But then Coach O, Tommy, Jeff, all those guys, just so sad. And like you said, now you and I are part of the non-player op side of the Ticats family. And I'm feeling for those guys too, Scott and Matt. I mean, it was a hard day.
Yeah, man. And not even being an arm's length from the team, but that this year we got closer to not even the football, not even the Berkeys and the Drews and the Clares of the world, but like the Bob Youngs and the Kyles, yeah, and the Lindsays and the Wills and Nicoles and the list goes on and on and on. But just before I go any further, Luke, you're a champion in my books, and and your dad too. You guys both touch a lot of people in positive ways, no matter what environment you're in. So to me, that's what life's all about. And I'm sad that you never won a football championship, but still you guys have a lot to celebrate and be proud of, because your dad's still killing it on the airwaves and obviously a Hall of Famer in the NFL and you're right behind him. So
we're hoping this year's his year, man. He's in the 15 man cut to be, I think they announced it at the Super Bowl. So we'll see, man. Buffalo's going crazy for him though, man. Everyone's making a big Steve Tasker push right now, which is great to see. Cause yes, he is. He's a one of a kind, man. He's an all timer. But yeah. I appreciate that from you, man. We had some unbelievable years there together, and man, 4 out of the last 8 years now, the Ticats have been there and not been able to get a victory. And I don't know. I have this new identity now, because instead of a player with the Ticats Audio Network, and I got to say, I think our first inaugural season with the Ticats Audio Network was a success. I mean, we should probably let the listeners decide that and not just assign that on ourselves. But I can't help but think this was fun, man. This was a fun year to do this stuff.
It was. And you know, just like reps in football, you know, the more we did, the more experience I had, I just got more comfortable. Like, this is a personal thing. And I thought the whole team, we just were gelling more, yeah, and more as the season went on. We had a lot of special guests on. We created some cool content, but also kept it like consistent in a way that we could grow in our framework. Dave put on a great show, and our entire team, just like I was learning from, you know, obviously the most experienced guys, really, really taught me a lot. But even other fellow rookies like yourself, just listening to you and the way you're delivering. it was fun, man. It was fun. Awesome. It was learned a lot. And I look forward to seeing what the future brings.
Dave Cadeau and RJ Broadhead, and then Jeff Girardet, like long time, you know, Canadian sports, like within in the broadcasting world and Canadian sports, like that's the three guys I was sitting next to as I was broadcasting the game. And it was just, it was awesome, man. Like they were, they just guided me. Like all I had to do was just show up and they, you know, just like made the show very, very, very much so easier for me. And yeah, super fun, man. For listeners, we're going to, of course, we're not going to pump out the content at, you know, like we did for our midseason or, you know, our playoff pace here or mid or regular season pace. Obviously there's just not much, not as much Ticats content happening in the football world, but we'll have some things throughout the off season. I think, what do you think, Tuz? I mean, let's have some guests on, let's have some former teammates, some CFL names. I think it'd be fun to, we'll do this every now and again through the off season too.
Yeah, I mean, like Louis and David Butko were doing a great job as well with the team.
Fantastic.
And we had some guests on throughout the year, and we saw a ton of people last week that we, you know, we were just talking. I remember we're saying we got to get these guys on the network, and that during the offseason would be a perfect time and yeah, just tell some different stories and get some groups together of people that know each other. That sounds perfect, man. I look forward to our next encounter. And in the meantime, you know, of course, happy holidays and happy new year, and recover up, sleep it off.
Yeah. Right. Well, good stuff, man. All the best to the family. Let's get through the holidays here. Ticat nation. And we'll press onward into 2022 and for all the good things to come at that point. Tuz, you're the man. It was awesome. Have a great holiday season and we'll touch base after.
Cheers, brother. Love you, Ben.
Love that.